This is the Sony Cycle Record Spin. Los herederos. Inheriting culture in the digital age.
The Sony Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition shares sounds and sentiments from NYC's ever-evolving diasporadical DJ scene with an eye for style and an ear for local culture.
Okay, this is the Sony Cycle Record Spin, the patio edition. Today, con Pedrito Erazo, better known as Pedrito Criollo o Pedrito Criollito. Muy latinoamericano el nickname de Pedrito Criollo. Por los diminutivos, en Latinoamérica se utiliza mucho el diminutivo, así que, bueno, nos vamos a enterar un poco de su trayectoria, de su herencia, de su vida musical, siendo un inmigrante aquí en la ciudad de Nueva York. Pero antes, before, we have some more important information to share with our executive director. She's Naomi Storm, and she's over the phone with me. Are you still there, Naomi?
I'm still here. Sigo aquí.
Okay, muy bien. So, Naomi, tenemos información importante to share. Since we are in these crazy times with the pandemic and the COVID and everything, so there are some information that we would like to share to the people, so they get to know like a little bit of what's going on in our neighborhoods.
Yes, definitely. So here we go with the COVID community bulletin. As Andres mentioned, we are trying to have just a few announcements on each show that both relate to the show's topic, but also to the work that Los Herederos is doing, both in terms of social justice and arts, creative arts work around the city, because we want this show in these times. Sometimes all we have is the radio, right? That's all we have.
Yeah.
And so we want to be building community, sharing knowledge, and, you know, give the idea to folks that you can also call in and connect with us. And so,
yeah,
before I get started, next week is our last official Sonny Cycle Record Spin Patio Edition for the summer, pending funding, of course. Mm-hmm. And so if you do have anything, if you're a local business, you're listening in, you're an artist, you're a DJ, you're a like-minded nonprofit, feel free to reach out to us on social media, which would be at Los Herederos NYC, or again through our website, losherederos.org. And we'd be happy to give you guys a shout out if you have programs or services that you are offering that you want to spread to the community. So we call it a COVID community bulletin for a reason. It's by the community and for the community. So to start out today, as we mentioned, our supporter, our funder, our underwriter for this incredible radio program through the summer has been Citizens Committee for New York City. They are a longtime micro-granter and funder of Los Herederos for many years. We are so grateful to them. They've really funded the creation of the Sonny Cycle back in the day and many other public programs that we've done. And they are offering a lot of great services and access to knowledge in these times where we face various kinds of pandemics, right? We have the COVID-19 pandemic, but we are also in the middle of reconciling great racial inequality in the United States and other social justice issues. And so Citizens Committee has for a long time been a real powerhouse behind pushing the voices of communities and individuals who are at the forefront of these social issues forward. And they have a conversation going on online on Thursday, July 30th at 12 p.m. If you go on their website or their social media, you'll see the link. But they're going to be revealing information from a recent survey they did surrounding race, community policing, and the Black Lives Matter movement. And then they're going to have a Q&A with special guests, including their executive director, as well as other community organizations who, not Los Herederos, but like Los Herederos, have received this All in the Neighborhood community relief grant during our season of multiple pandemics here in the United States and New York City. So definitely check that out if you are a community member who's interested in getting involved. We also want to give a shout out about the 2020 census. I know a lot of people have been receiving stuff in the mail, email. There have been a lot of great initiatives by different media and justice organizations around New York. But for our communities and in Queens, particularly in the neighborhood that we call home much of the year, those neighborhoods of Jackson Heights, Elmhurst, and Corona, where we've been working a long time, I just wanted to give a shout out and share with you guys that unfortunately those neighborhoods are in danger of not being properly counted for the 2020 census. And if that were to happen, it will have a really negative impact for our neighborhoods. So in addition to losing money for education, social services, and other infrastructure things like bus stops, bus routes, et cetera, we could also lose our congressional seat and representation at the federal level. And so a big, big issue with the census has been the lack of counting for immigrant, dreamer, and also undocumented individuals. We understand how scary it can be to fill out that stuff and also how unnecessary it can seem, but really it is. And we want to just say, please, please, please fill out those papers and, you know, contact your local representatives if you're having any issues doing that, because at the end of the day, what we have is our power to vote, our power to count ourselves, and every human being matters and every human being should be counted. So please take a second look at that if you come from a household where not everybody has filled out the 2020 census. And number three, a big shout out to street vendors these days in New York City. So last time we talked about small businesses, community anchors, folks who have been opening up and coming up with new and ingenious ways to continue activity outdoors and on the streets to keep folks employed and keep neighborhood culture alive and well. And another important side of that, perhaps a more informal economy, is that of street vendors. Los Herederos has been engaged for some time now in research with street vendors, thinking about that from a historical perspective with documentation. And we've also connected with the NYC Street Vendors Project, which is a division of the Urban Justice Center. And they have launched a really interesting project called Street Vendor Stories. So check out their website, learn a little bit about some of the issues that street vendors are facing in New York City and really across the nation at this time. And look at some of those stories. Think about street vendors who are important to you and your life and your stomach, your eating habits, and try to get out and frequent them. If, you know, if they're not available, check in, see what's going on, because street vendors have been almost unequivocally impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, and it's real, real rough on them. Often the economic situation was already rough to begin with, so something to keep in mind. Love your street vendors and continue to support. So that's our COVID community bulletin for the day. I'm going to hand it back over to you, Andres, but I also want to give just a big virtual hug and shout out to Pedrito, Mr. Pedrito El Criollo, who's going to be up next with his exclusive interview and followed by his all-vinyl world beat set, as he calls it. So I'm very excited to hear that. I'm very excited to get his take on this underground, diasporatical immigrant beat and vinyl DJ scene that he's been a part of, as you said, since the 1990s. So a lot of folks we've had on the show so far came to the city a bit later from cities like Los Angeles or Miami, Chicago. Mikey's been around for a good long time as well. But I think Pedrito has been around this scene and a creator of this scene for a very long time. He has a very unique perspective in that way. And while he is correctly known and lauded for all his incredible achievements as one of the main members of Gogo Bordello and other you know, world famous ensembles, he also has a very unique personal journey, and is someone who has been at the center or on the side looking in, depending on the situation of the development of this music scene. So I'm just psyched to hear what he has to say and to tune into your conversation together.
All right, Naomi. Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, I'm excited too. We are very lucky to have him and have his story told by him, by himself. Before we let you go, I want to say to everybody to remember that the COVID is still here. So please wash your hands. If you are in a place where you cannot maintain the social distancing, wear a mask. It's a matter of taking care of each other, so keep it in mind. It's still here, so we have to be very careful with each other. So it's important. And thank you very much, Naomi, for all the information.
Yes, yes. And I don't know if Pedrito's listening in, but maybe he'll be able to slip his little rap in about washing your hands. He has a great public service announcement that the vinyl. make that recommendation.
I will have them rapping about that. Yeah, he's not listening right now. He's getting ready for the interview and for the set. But I'll let him know that.
He's got a great Los Herederos Lave los Manos.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay, Naomi, so keep on listening. We're still connected, and thank you very much again. Hopefully, in other our broadcasting, you will be here in person. So I'm looking forward to it, and we'll be on it.
All right, great.
Okay, we're going to listen to some music before we start with Pedrito. Pedrito is right here, ready to talk to us and tell us about his life, his stories, his music, his world, immigrants, New York City, and the underground scene. Estamos escuchando La Sonora Dinamita. We'll be right back.
Yo oye un canto negro allá en el Congo. Yo oye un canto negro allá en el Congo. Rincón tropical, rincón del amor. ¡Hey, yeah, mamá!
Rincón tropical, rincón del amor.
¡Hey, mamá!
Soy un canto negro en la madrugada. Soy un canto negro en la madrugada.
Ay, ay, lolo. Ay, 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 lolo.
Soy un canto negro allá en el Congo. Soy un canto negro allá en el Congo.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, this is the Sony Cycle Records Spin, the Patio Edition. La canción que escuchábamos es Rincón Tropical. Estamos en un rincón casi que tropical. Hace mucho calor. It's really hot today. Estamos en Forest Hills, el condado de Queens. El condado del mundo lo llaman. The World's Borough. En la ciudad de Nueva York somos Los Herederos, en alianza con Radio Mixtitious. Y estamos en vivo. Y bueno, vamos arrancando esta charla con nuestro invitado, como siempre, invitados de lujo. Y el invitado de hoy también, pero además tiene... Él nos lo vamos a sentir, nos vamos a enterar, porque es algo bien especial lo que tiene Pedrito Erazo. O Pedro Erazo, mejor conocido como Pedrito el Criollo, Pedro el Criollito. Está en la ciudad de Nueva York desde la década del 90, vinculado con la música. Él viene de background ecuatoriano, de Quito, y desde el 90 que llegó, desde los 90, ya vamos a saber en qué exactamente cuándo fue, que llegó a la ciudad de Nueva York, se vinculó con la escena subterránea musical y desde entonces pues ha creado una cantidad de proyectos y ha hecho parte como de la transformación que ha tenido durante todos estos años el mundo musical subterráneo neoyorquino y pues el mundo musical de inmigrantes, de diasporádico. Entonces es una persona que tiene un background muy interesante y pues nos sentimos muy afortunados de tener la oportunidad de charlar con Pedrito y además pues que comparta sus experiencias y su música, obviamente, pues porque una buena parte de la esencia del programa es la música. Y pues entonces le damos la bienvenida a Pedrito Criollo. Pedrito, hermano, qué
¿cómo
gusto.
Estamos?
Muchas gracias.
Muchas gracias a ustedes por dejarme compartir este domingo caluroso.
Caluroso.
Tropical.
Tropical. Tropical en Nueva York. Pues hombre, qué gusto nuevamente. Lo reitero, es un orgullo, es un honor poder compartir contigo.
Gracias,
acá.
Hermano.
Pues conocerte, para mí personalmente, conocerte aquí en Nueva York, después de escuchar, yo viví en Colombia y pues vivía en Colombia hace muy poco, me vine para Nueva York y en Colombia escuchar a la banda de la que eres parte, que pues una de las bandas que fue muy sobresaliente, que es Gogol Bordello, y escuchar tu nombre y ahora tener la oportunidad de sentarme y charlar contigo es muy chévere, muy emocionante, entonces qué bacano. Y mi inicio, yo no podría iniciar esta charla de otra forma sin preguntarte como, bueno, para la gente que no sabe, Pedrito hace parte de la banda Gogol Bordello. Pero esto va a que Pedro, al inicio, en la década del 90, ¿cómo es que termina un hombre de Quito, un personaje, un chico de Quito, en la ciudad de Nueva York, haciendo música en un bar del este europeo, en un bar de que no tiene mucha conexión aparentemente con la cultura latina? Entonces, ¿cómo es que Pedrito el Criollo llega a Nueva York, a ese lugar?
Bueno, al momento de emigrar, claro, obviamente no fue progresivo, ¿no? El salir del miedo de salir de la esquina de la casa más allá, ¿no?
Okay.
Y cuando emigramos con mi familia, emigramos a Nueva Jersey. Entonces me tomó alrededor de 2 años como ya ser como muy familiar con la onda del subterráneo de Nueva York y los distanciamientos y cómo llegar a tal lugar y qué tren coger.
¿A qué parte de la ciudad llega? A New Jersey, ya lo mencionaste.
Pues cuando viví los primeros años de la secundaria, fue en New Jersey. Y estábamos en una ciudad que se llama Elizabeth, como a media hora de Nueva York.
Yeah.
Entonces, ahí conocí como otros amiguitos que estaban como curiosos en la onda musical, ¿cierto?
¿Tú ya tenías alguna formación?
Yo había hecho, después de salir de la secundaria, había formado parte de 2-3 proyectos musicales.
Okay.
Que pues no fueron muy renombrados en la escena, porque en esa época relativamente no existía una escena latina, aparte de lo convencional, ¿no? Que era salsa o merengue. No había más, o sea, era muy, 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 muy diferente a los tiempos de ahora. Y bueno, y cómo llegó a tocar en Mejanata es eso, como al llegar a Nueva York, ya me topo con otros inmigrantes que están en la misma inquietud en la que yo estaba en esa época, y al momento de ya concurrir al subterráneo a tocar una y otra, se fueron armando esos colectivos pequeños.
Okay.
Y un día terminé tocando ahí en Mejanata, o sea, fuimos con unos muchachos mendocinos que también vivían en Elizabeth en esa época, forman ahora parte de una banda que se llama Escarioca, y con ellos hacíamos como timbaladas, íbamos a un bar, tocábamos un par de tambores, nos dábamos una vuelta al bar, colectábamos plata y nos íbamos, siguiente bar, ¿no? Y una ocasión fuimos, tocamos en Tribeca, y ya regresándonos otra vez al subterráneo, pasamos por Canal y Broadway, y ya vimos en el segundo piso que había como una bola de disco, y yo digo, chicos, antes de meternos al subterráneo, ¿por qué no probemos a ver qué sucede? Entonces decidimos comenzar a tocar desde abajo para que no nos cobren, si en caso iba a haber alguien que nos cobrara. Entonces comenzamos,
subimos tocando
como que si fuéramos parte del show.
¿Cómo era el formato, Pedrito? Descríbeme ese formato con el que
éramos cuatro hambrientos músicos callejeros. Un uruguayo, dos hermanos argentinos y un ecuatoriano.
¿Y los instrumentos eran qué?
3 tambores y una campana.
Ok. ¿Y cantaban?
Rústico, nada. Era entrar, hacer tan timbalada, bulla y chao, okay. Y salir por las mismas, ¿no?
Ok.
Entonces, usualmente cuando nos solíamos hacer este tipo de trucos y encontrábamos que había un DJ adentro, el DJ usualmente peleábamos con el ruido del DJ hasta que nosotros dejáramos de tocar y nos íbamos, ¿no?
Okay.
Pero esta ocasión fue diferente. Desde la entrada vimos que decía Centro Cultural Búlgaro y Film Center. Y yo así como, Centro Cultural Búlgaro, en la mitad de Chinatown. Búlgaros en Chinatown, imposible. Eventualmente subimos, y cuando subimos había una cortina, entonces abrimos la cortina y el brother que estaba poniendo música, Eugene, nos queda viendo, y en vez de subir la música, baja todo su volumen, saca su guitarra y se pone a tocar sus canciones. Y pues nosotros ahí, normal, tocamos, seguimos con nuestra volada. Por ahí habríamos tocado 45 minutos, ¿no? Se cansó el brother, volvió a poner un disco, nos pidió unos tragos y ya, tomamos los tragos, chao, brother. Y el brother, antes de que nos vamos, nos dice, ¿qué van a hacer mañana? Y me digo, ¿por qué? O sea, vamos a hacer lo mismo en otro lugar, en Williamsburg, en Volume. Y entonces le digo, bueno, déjame ver cuánta gente puedo reunir para llevar al Volume. Y así sucedió. Al día siguiente fuimos a Volume, hicimos el mismo truco. Y como que brother ya quedó como picado en hacer esta onda de hacer una intervención en su set, y esta intervención sí es acústica, más chévere. Entonces queríamos seguirlo haciendo, pero ya la gente se desanimó, porque no era una gratificación inmediata, nadie nos pagaba, ¿cierto?
Claro.
Entonces lo único que sacábamos de ahí era el trago de la noche y chao. Y como que no era muy efectivo, creo yo, para los otros muchachos. Y terminé como un día yendo al estudio a dejarle una música que tenía, unos CDs que tenía para él. Y ahí fue cuando hicimos un demo, y el resto ya es historia, pues estamos acá.
Aquí en el Patio Edition. Bueno, mencionaste a Eugene Hutz, pues es el líder de Gogol Bordello. ¡Wow! Vaya historia, es como esas cosas que tienen que pasar.
Claro, casi, casi. O más bien dicho, estar en el sitio adecuado a la hora adecuada. Claro.
Eso es, ¿no? hablando de esto, pues llegaste a un centro comunitario búlgaro y bueno, con un parche, un combo, un grupo de latinos. ¿Cómo crees tú que ha influenciado en el cambio, en la transformación en Nueva York, en la ciudad de Nueva York, pues hablando de cultura y de música, el mundo inmigrante, tanto de Europa del Este como de los latinos, como de Asia? Como, ¿crees que ha aportado a que Nueva York sea lo que es? ¿Cómo crees que cómo has visto que se transforma todo este movimiento en la ciudad de Nueva York y qué aporta a la ciudad? ¿Cómo crees?
A mí lo que me agrada mucho de Nueva York en términos de cómo se mueve la ciudad es que hay un cambio constante, siempre hay un cambio continuo. O sea, estamos hablando de que la calle X con cuadra Y no es la misma de una semana atrás. Siempre hay un cambio, hay un graffiti nuevo o hay algo que se lo ha quitado, algo que se ha tumbado, algo que se ha vuelto a construir. Y entonces yo creo que eso se transmite en todo lo que sucede en la ciudad. Hay como un cambio continuo de este tipo de reproducciones sociales, ¿cierto? De efectos sociales. En el caso de la cultura de la música, siempre el grupo más actual, el grupo de inmigrantes más actual, es quien tiene la huella más fresca. Y lo curioso de Nueva York, por lo que yo puedo observar, es que ahora ya existen dos tipos de inmigrantes. El inmigrante que es recién llegado, ¿cierto? Yeah. Y luego está el inmigrante que está llegado acá hace mucho tiempo, o el inmigrante que ya es segunda generación o primera generación de inmigrante nacido aquí,
claro,
que no es necesariamente de México o de Centroamérica, sino ya de Sudamérica. Entonces, acá se gesta otro movimiento muy chistoso, porque se trata de siempre moverse para adelante en la ciudad, ¿cierto? Entonces, el sonido más fresco siempre está vigente.
Sí.
Pero estas generaciones de personas que crecimos en otro lado y que tenemos la nostalgia del lugar de donde vinimos, somos los que relativamente mantenemos la frescura de los sonidos de antaño.
Yeah.
¿Cierto? Y eso es lo que yo veo que es claro aquí en la ciudad. El que llega a la ciudad, que es joven, su aporte es traer toda esa música fresca. Y quien ya tiene un tiempo aquí en la ciudad y que se va dando cuenta que pues la ciudad tiene mucho que ofrecer, entonces trata de recaudar lo que le sirve para poder aportar de esa manera a la cultura de la ciudad de Nueva York. Ese es mi punto.
Totalmente, totalmente. Y eso me lleva a preguntarte algo más. I'm going to jump to English. I'm going to be jumping English and Spanish.
Awesome.
So we can, you know, get more people to understand. We're talking about the immigration and how the immigrants get to evolve New York City. You were mentioned that immigrants would come and get to apport, to give to the city like their background, right? Do you think there's some common thing with immigrants and musicians and collectors that I have noticed, and is that, and it happened to me too, is that when I was in my country, I'm from Colombia, and I was younger, of course, like a teenager, I was so involved in another kinds of music different from my own, you know, I was into, like, you know, American, North American rock and punk and everything. And when I came here for the first time in the 97, and after that I started, like, looking back and getting, like, touched by my culture, by my music, and I started, like, rediscovering and giving giving value to that culture, right? And it started, like, another path. Do you think that that happens all the time? Did it happen to you? And do you think that when you go, you leave your country, you realize that you have a rich culture and you want to hug it?
For me, that translates to nostalgia, right?
Okay.
Right? Nostalgia. We human beings, we are like archivers through our whole life. We archive nostalgia. Right? Every time we smell something, oh, that was my mom's cooking. Or every time we pass by somewhere, oh my God, I went to this place and that place, or I met this person. So we always constantly focusing on archiving those events that are the closest to us to be able to reproduce them later on. In my case, I think we do that all the time, as immigrants or non-immigrants, or as music collectors, or as just simply, you know, audience or regular person,
yeah.
Right? We always collect memories, right? And that memory brings certain amount of nostalgia. And we always want to reach that nostalgia that brings the most of the satisfactions to us. That's why most of the people, when they reach my age, they go, oh my God, you know, that band, when yeah, I was younger, I used to, oh, when I used to be a punk, right?
Yeah, yeah,
like just like when you were 97, before 97, yeah. You were such a punk. 2020, you are such a salsero, right?
That's right.
So what it is I believe that we are collectors of nostalgia. The immigrants, we collect double the amount of nostalgia because we collect the nostalgia that we grew up with,
yeah.
And the nostalgia that we are growing up with here, overseas. And that's how everything mixes up. You know, I try to bring, you know, the songs that my mom used to sing when she was doing the dishes back in Ecuador. Not because it's my favorite song, but because it brings me back to that moment. And now I became a collector because of that, right? Now, it's more easy to go to YouTube and get it there, right?
Yeah.
Got it. But I grew up in a different time where gratification was physical. And that's why I collect. But going to what you're saying, we are collectors of nostalgia. And so, yes.
Collectors indeed. Of nostalgia. I like that. Yeah, man. And talking about collection and how why you became a collector, I would like to ask you how did you become a collector? Because you like music. Before you were you were interested in playing like a musician, or it was all the way around? What happened first?
I was a rebel at home, right? A rebel, full on rebel.
Are you still a rebel?
From the heart, from the heart.
That's
of
good.
Course.
It's good to keep being a rebel, yeah, well, a little, right?
As much as possible,
yeah,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So, I became interested in music because it was my only outlet. Cuando yo vine de Ecuador acá, it was all about Morbid Angel, being heavy, the biggest distortion pedals. I mean, you had to be rawr, a tiger. But when I arrived to the US, the hardest thing that was happening then was Nirvana Unplugged.
Yeah, right.
So the contrast was so humongous, you know, like it was like a cold shower in a sunny day.
Yeah.
And like, how could it be? I had dreams to go ride the bus to my high school and just be full on Slayer heads going, right?
Yeah.
But no, I came here and everyone was like, in the name, the soul, the world. And I was like, wow, what happened? So that's when I decided to flip the coin. And I started searching my own ways, right?
Okay.
And my own ways were always like those rebel ideas, you know, like if that was the sound of today, I would go through the other way. Just to be on the contrary, right? That's how I became a little bit of interested on music, right? Battling my older brother while he was playing, I don't know, Miguel Bosé, and I was playing Todos Tus Muertos. I had to kill him, you know,
yeah,
somehow.
Yeah.
So later on, my mom found out I didn't go to work, and I lied to her this and that, and she tossed all my CDs. And this is like a trauma.
Oh my God.
And I go, oh wow, she threw my CDs away. What do I do? What do I do? So from there on, every CD I got, every CD was saved. You know? And that's how I guess I became a collector.
Okay.
It was literally just, you know, an event that traumatized it, perhaps. And that's what kicked in the collector side of me.
Okay.
And because of the music interest, I always wanted to hear and reproduce what I heard.
Okay.
Meaning, if there was a gleam, I needed to know where that gleam came from and how that gleam
was made. Yeah.
I mean, not to perfection, but at least knew how to be reproduced.
Yeah, yeah.
And that led me to play music.
Okay.
I was originally born to be a painter, perhaps, or I don't know, whatever, right? Because I was always involved in more drawing than doing music.
Okay.
But the gratification of music was such immediate, like literally, bam, bam. Get a response, bam, bam, and I can be 6 hours alone going home, bam, 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 bam. I get something back. And the difference was I could be 6 hours doing a drawing and the drawing would look all crooked, all depression.
Yeah.
So I became a musician because of that. The immediate return that music gave me allowed me to keep going and insisting on going to something else.
That is beautiful, man. Well, talking about records, we asked you to bring some records, of course, to play our set for us in a little bit. He's gonna be playing records, but we wanted you also to show us like something special, something essential, something favorite, something that like is like this record, this song. I just have it. Which one is that, Pedrito? If you wanna, I'll put it.
Oh. Sure, please.
Okay.
Track 4.
Track 4.
I don't know if it's essential. Side A, I guess, is that that's the side.
Okay.
I don't know whether it's essential or not. It's essential for me because in a way, it's kind of like when I discovered this guy, it opened a new spectrum of music for me. Okay. It's a dub poet called Linton Quincy Johnson, or LKJ, and he's from the UK. Este album, this record is called Forces of Victory, Fuerzas de la Victoria.
The
song that we're going to listen is called Independent Intervention.
Okay.
Or Intervention, como está escrito. Como está escrito ahí.
Yeah.
y por qué considero que es esencial para mí? Mainly the way that he transcribes history.
Yeah.
It is important then, and it is important now, right? Because as we unravel the mysteries of the world today, we are understanding that this world has been manipulated for other people to be seen as above from others, rather than unequal rights and justice for everybody, right?
Yeah.
So this guy is able to grab a moment in time in the lives of Brixton, of London,
yep.
And during the chaos that they lived, similar as here, with the racism and the abuse of police. And he came on scene, you know, with his dub poetry. And this album is one of my favorite albums because it captures all that momentum in one.
He's Pedrito El Criollo, Pedro Erazo, aquí en el Sony Cycle Records Spin. Y vamos a escuchar Linton Quincy Johnson, uno de los favoritos esenciales de los discos de este gran personaje.
What a cheek, them think we meek, and we can't speak up for ourselves. What a cheek, them think we weak, and we can't stand up on our feet. But make them go on, now we come, and in the hand is we what we ride is down. So make them go on, now we come, and in the end is we what we ride is down. The CRE can't set we free. The TUC can't do it for me. The Liberal Party, them is not very hearty. And the Tory Party, I know for party. So make them go on, now it come. But we have to really ride the storm. So make them go on, now it come. But we have to really ride the storm.
Linton Quincy Johnson, recomendado esencial de la colección y de la selección de Pedrito Criollo, nuestro invitado de hoy. Y bueno, vamos llegando un poco al final, no tenemos tanto tiempo para la entrevista, pero estaría bueno, Pedrito, que it would be nice, going back to English, that we talk about your personal projects, the Criollito Sound Crew, how do you become the Criollito? Why the Criollito? It would be nice to listen a little bit about that nice story.
So 15 years ago or so, I moved to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
My first location right off in Bushwick, when Bushwick was a hellhole. I'm talking about like mafia and drug addiction and like heroin abuse right there, right outside my door. And you know, the hard times in this neighborhood, I kind of felt a little bit alone, so I decided to bring friends over to my apartment. And funny enough, I'm surrounded by friends that are interested or in need to play music. Young and desperate, kind of, no?
Young and desperate, yeah.
So every day of the week, I will have different group of people going to play in my living room. I had a drum set, bass amp, God. Guitar amp, and my neighbors were cool. In fact, you know, most of the neighbors that I had back then, they didn't either care for the sound, or they were musicians themselves. So they would come up and jam with me, you know? So it was
nice.
family style. And eventually, we became noticed that out of the group of people that we were continuously going there, most of the people that were solid there in that living room were bass players or drummers. So we said, okay, what do we do when we have too many bass players and drummers? Well, let's do battles of grooves. So in 2 minutes, how many grooves can you do? So, you know, set up this person with that person, and then the guy will go from ska to like Mr. Bungle style, you know, full on everywhere.
Wow.
And so it became the groove battles. De esa época, several projects came to be part of the neighborhood, perhaps, or the scene, to name it somewhat. Chicholina Sound Machine, Criollito Sound Crew. From there was a guy who, a neighbor of mine, Recycled Brain, Carujata. Some members of Consumata were also cooking their skills there. So it was like all these friends that came to the parties, and that we were constantly seeing each other, we kind of cooked our skill in my living room.
Okay, wow.
And because there was a moment where there was nobody that came anymore, and I was left only with my cajon and myself. So I said, okay, so what do? I do Criollo Punk, and pa, 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 and do songs like that.
Okay.
And that's how the name got stuck. El Criollito, because, you know, when there was nobody there, it was whatever it was available, you know.
What is Criollito? What does it mean for the people that doesn't understand, like, so Spanish? What is it in Ecuador? Maybe in Colombia it's different.
Well, in terms of definition, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Criollo or Criol, right, is someone that is not rooted to the fullness to where it belongs. Right, in our case, I guess I am Criollo because my dad is partially Afro-descendant, partially Ecuadorian to the fullness. My mom, partially Italian descendant, partially Ecuadorian to the fullness. So I become a mixed mashup. A mix of the whole shebang. So to call myself Latino, I cannot say Latino because I have a lot of Andean roots in myself, right? So I am happy, but not happy to the point where I can just blast my sound system without care, you know?
Yeah.
Then I am not Hispanic because for me the term Hispanic is somewhat insulto, no? Like it has a little bit of connotation in there.
I understand.
And the Hispanic part, first and foremost, back then I'm talking about young, right?
Yeah,
didn't consider myself Hispanic either, so what do I consider myself? Criollo, what else can I do? Like, where else do I fit, right? Because I was not fully black, I'm not fully this, I'm not fully that, so I'm not a mix of everything.
Yeah, we're like a mix of everything.
And that's how I see or perceive, perhaps, the way I try to present my art, is like that, a mashup of all the influences that I've gotten through the time, right? The cultures that I have been, you know, I've been influenced since the day I moved to the U.S. And that's how Criollo Records also was born. You know, once I recorded my first record with Chicholina Sound Machine, you know, we had some people that were interested on distributing our material, but nobody really wanted to put money to print the album. And that's pretty much where everything starts, at least at that time, in that time and day, right? You needed to have something physical to be present. Otherwise, you don't exist.
Yeah, of course.
Right now, you have SoundCloud and this and that, so all that material doesn't need to be physical, right? So I said, well, if nobody's interested in putting money, and I'm pretty much doing most of the work, the design, this, that, well, so let's do a record label.
Of course.
And that was the only thing that came to my mind. what can people be immediately recognize me for? Ah, they call me Criollito, Criollo Records. Done.
There you go.
And check plus, no?
Yeah, you have your identity right there for the whole project, all the projects that you have.
And this was like an idea of maybe one record and that was it. I mean, you know, obviously as a musician, you always want to develop your art and want to move forward and forward and forward. But the next project that came along was with the ex-DJ of Mejanata, a partner of mine of the times where I also started doing DJ. And then the next album came with another friend of mine from the Subways, and you know, we kind of mash it up, and then the next 45 came out of my brother and my neighbor.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
It became like your apartment back in those times.
Pretty much,
right?
Pretty much, it's kind of
that's
the epicenter.
Really interesting.
The epicenter
so
of everything.
You're like, yeah, you're an epicenter, like a creator,
so what?
A core, right? All right, he's Pedrito el Criollo, y estamos aquí en el Sony Cycle Records Spin. Vamos a tener una hora con una selección musical exclusiva de vinilos de su propia colección. Pedrito, but I want to, before you leave and you start doing the set, I would like to ask you, what kind of music did you bring? What are we going to listen to today? And if the Andean and the South American music plays an important, how important role is in your sets, this kind of music, your background and the Latin American sound?
So obviously after living so many years in the States, right, like 20 plus years in the States, you get absorbed by everything that happens at the moment, at the time. So yeah, of course I like every type of music, you know, going from like tango to chararera to I don't know, calypso,
yeah,
to everything, you know, everything that is interesting and has soul, I'm in it. but it wasn't always like that, of course, you know, it was a process of understanding, you know, sounds and textures and feelings, right?
Claro.
Most importantly, I guess, for me, what I brought today was all the records that I cannot play in a party, because these are not danceable music.
Yeah.
You know, this is music that you will not expect the crowd to go full on, you know, booties
like
up in the air,
yeah,
right? So these are kind of like my personal songs, the songs that I will wake up and say, okay, today I feel very extremo, I'm gonna listen to this, or I feel very, you know, very like that, I'm gonna listen to that. So within that context, I bring you special tracks, special selections to say.
God, all right.
And from everywhere in the world, you know, like I have a Tunisian guy, I have an English producer, records of an English producer, Clap Clap, I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah.
I brought some Sumo from Argentina.
All right.
Yeah, I got some Nina Hagen from Germany, Gothic Punk, you know, so a little bit of everything, you know, just to touch bases.
A little bit of you.
A little bit of New York.
New York. A little bit of New York. A little bit of Pedrito in New York. Well, Pedrito, what can I say? Thank you very much. We could be talking about stories in music and culture like for hours. But well, we got a little bit of you.
Part two next time.
Yeah, let's do that. So again, thank you very much. It was an honor. So I will see you around and we're going to listen to some music.
No, thank you to Mysticious Radio.
Yeah.
Y la gente de Sony Cycle, Record Spin, Herederos, y su grande trabajo que hacen con la comunidad inmigrante. Thank you for having me. Respect and love.
Respect and love. We are the Sony Cycle Record Spin de Patio Edition y estamos con Pedrito el Criollo en minutos aquí tocando un set exclusivo para Sony Cycle Record Spin. Sigan ahí, conectadas, conectados.
London, Southwest, to England. Dear Mama, good day. I hope that when these few lines reach you, they may find you in the best of health. Mama, I really don't know how to tell you this, 'cause I did make a solemn promise to take care of little Jim and try my best to look out for him. Mama, I really did try my best, but nonetheless, I'm sorry to tell you, sir, poor little Jim get a rest. It was the middle of the rush hour when everybody just a hustle and a bustle to go home for them evening shower. Me and Jim stand up waiting for a bus, causing no fuss,
when all of a sudden a police van pull up. Out jump three policemen, all of them carrying baton. Them walk straight up to me and Jim. One of them hold on to Jim, say him taking him in. Jim tell him to let go of him, for him not do nothing. And him not a thief, not even a button. Jim start to wriggle, the police start to giggle. Mama, make I tell you what them do to Jim. Mama, make I tell you what them do to him.
You're listening to the Sony Cycle, Records Spin. Los Herederos and Mixtitious Radio.